Well, hello there, everyone. I'm Dr. Leslie Kernison, board-certified geriatrician and founder of the website betterhealthwhileaging.net. And this is the Helping Older Parents video podcast, where I cover the best ways to support aging parents and other older loved ones so they can live better lives in their later years. I also often address common caregiving concerns and dilemmas, like what to do if you are worried about an older person's memory or safety, how to deal with Alzheimer's and other forms of dementia, and how to help your older relative get the care they need. In today's episode, I'm going to talk about medications used to treat sundowning and agitation in Alzheimer's and other forms of dementia. So basically, the medications that are often used when we are dealing with difficult behaviors. Because sundowning basically refers to difficult behaviors that tend to come up later in the day. It's really, really common in people who are experiencing memory or thinking problems. And so in a previous episode, I went into sundowning in depth because this is something that families and caregivers are often having to deal with, and it's important to learn as much as you can about it. Specifically, in the previous episode, I covered what is sundowning, what causes sundowning, signs and symptoms, how to know if it's sundowning versus delirium versus some other form of dementia-related agitation. And then I talked about how to manage sundowning overall, how to take a kind of comprehensive whole-person approach to it. So that was the previous episode. And in that episode, I did talk about medications briefly, but not in depth. So in this one, I am actually going to go into greater depth on the medications. I'm going to talk about, first of all, when to consider medications. And then I'm going to do a deep dive into four types of medication that are often used to treat sundowning and other forms of agitation in dementia. I will also talk about two other types that are occasionally used for sundowning that you might hear about or encounter. So we'll get started with that. But before I do, I have a very quick request, which is if you're here and you're finding this topic interesting or this video podcast interesting, if you haven't yet subscribed, could you please go ahead and subscribe? It would mean a lot to me because it really does help other people find the channel and it helps support the work I'm doing. Okay, moving on. So first, I want to start with just like a quick recap of sundowning. So it's difficult behaviors. It often comes on later in the day. And what's important to know as a family caregiver is that sundowning and really any form of agitation in Alzheimer's or other forms of dementia is generally a response to something that's going on for the person. So often it can be a response to fatigue, stress, or overstimulation. And that is especially true when it comes to sundowning, which tends to come on later in the day when the person just might be kind of worn out and out of reserve. It can also be a reaction to pain or discomfort, including constipation, which is really, really common in older people. So we want to consider that as well. It can be a response to unmet emotional or physical needs, such as feeling afraid or hungry or thirsty. It can be a response of frustration, not being able to do something they really want to do. And then especially if it's new agitation or difficult behavior that has just come on within the past few hours or that day, we want to also consider the fact that it could potentially be delirium. So delirium is a state of worse than usual confusion or mental focus due to an illness or an underlying physical stressor. So if we think it might be delirium, we want to be checking, could they be sick? Could they have an infection or something else that's affecting their health? Is there a new medication? Is there some other kind of trigger for delirium? And if you want to learn more about delirium, I'll post a link to an article I have about delirium on Better Health While Aging in the show notes. And I will also be making a video soon about delirium as well. So basically, given that sundowning is a response to an unmet need, we actually don't want to start with medication. We want to start by seeing if we can meet the underlying need or otherwise help the person feel more resourced, resilient, and avoid them getting to that state where they're just totally spent, overstimulated, and out of any kind of reserve. So we always want to start with non-drug approaches. And if we're going to consider medication, it should be an add-on to those non-drug approaches or added on after we've tried the non-drug approaches. And specifically, I like to think about both like what can we do to prevent agitation and sundowning from coming on as often as it does, and then what can we do to manage it in the moment? So for prevention, we want to be thinking, what can we do to meet their core needs in a calm, structured way? Do we have a routine that makes sure that they have adequate social stimulation, exercise, rest, exposure to outdoors and the natural light? And routines are really, really helpful for people with Alzheimer's and dementia. The more they're familiar with a certain rhythm and know what to expect, the more at ease they feel, the less stressed out they are, the less likely they are to tip into sundowning or agitation. Have we considered other non-drug methods that help settle the nervous system, such as aromatherapy, music therapy, pet therapy, touch? Are we checking to make sure they're having regular bowel movements so that we can avoid constipation? Are we treating any pain that might be present? And then in the moment, if the person is upset, yes, it is possible to turn to medication to deal with it in the moment. And sometimes that's necessary, especially if the person is really out of control and is at risk of harming themselves or their caregivers. But there are also many other ways that we can try to de-escalate the situation. And the mainstay is to extend empathy and reassurance to the person who is upset and then try to redirect them. And what we want to do is avoid explanations or bringing in too much frustrated or tense, agitated energy of our own. Now, that, of course, is easier said than done. It is hard to not get activated when somebody else is upset. But to the extent that we can manage our energy and emotions when we interact with those people, that is going to help, because even though people with Alzheimer's and dementia often have a very poor memory and will not remember exactly what happened or what you said, they definitely feel the energy, the emotional vibe of people around them. And that tends to stay with them for a while also. So learning to manage an agitated moment, right, in a way that helps tilt things towards de-escalation instead of further amping the person up is a really important skill set and helps us hopefully avoid the need for medication or make it possible to use less medication. Now, why do we want to avoid or use less medication? That's because, as I'm going to explain when I do this deep dive in medications, there are medications we use. None of them are truly effective and truly safe for the most part, and they all have risks and side effects. So yes, we can use them, and we want to be using them ideally as a last resort, unless physical safety is a concern, in which case we should have a lower threshold to use them. So given that, let me now talk about the medications that often get used for people who have Alzheimer's or dementia and are getting agitated. Most of the time, medications are going to fall into one of these categories, and they are antipsychotics, benzodiazepines, antidepressants, especially the SSRI types, although there are a few other types that might be used as well, and then dementia drugs, especially cholinesterase inhibitors. So that means medications such as donepezil, brand name Aricept. It used to be fairly common for people to also use mood stabilizers, such as valproic acid, brand name Depakote. That's less common, but I'm still going to touch on that. And I'm also going to talk about one other kind of medication that is occasionally used as well. Now, what you should know is that most medications, the vast majority of them, used for sundowning and agitation are not actually FDA approved for Alzheimer's and other dementias. There's really only, I can think of two that have been FDA approved. I'm going to talk about those, and that's fairly recent that they were FDA approved as well. So it is fairly common for these medications to be used, and that is off-label. So it's important to keep that in mind. Let's now do a deep dive into each of these types of medication so that you can better understand them and what are the sort of pros and cons of each one. So I'm going to start with antipsychotics. These are actually not the first medications we would try in geriatrics, but because they're so commonly used, I decided to start here. So these are medications that were originally developed to treat schizophrenia and other conditions causing psychosis. So psychosis generally refers to symptoms that indicate a bit of a disconnect from reality. So things like hallucinations, delusions, paranoia, those would all be forms of psychosis. Hallucinations, meaning seeing or hearing things that aren't there, and delusions, believing things that most other people don't believe to be true. So common medications used as antipsychotics when it comes to Alzheimer's and dementia include quetiapine, brand name Seroquel, olanzapine, brand name Zyprexa, Risperidone, brand name Risperdal, a much older antipsychotic, which is occasionally used in the emergency room or in hospice, not so commonly used otherwise in the outpatient setting, would be haloperidol, brand named Haldol. Now, there are a couple newer antipsychotics that you also might come across. So one is brexpiprazole, brand name Rexulti. So this was FDA approved in 2023 for agitation associated with Alzheimer's dementia. It was previously, years before that, approved as an adjunctive treatment for psychosis, basically. So that one, they did additional studies and they got FDA approval for dementia. And then there's another one that is pimavanserin, Nuplazid, which was approved in 2016. Now, that was approved very specifically for Parkinson's disease psychosis. So when people have advanced Parkinson's disease, they can have Parkinson's disease dementia, or they can have psychosis, hallucinations, and other things, symptoms such as that related to Parkinson's. And so that medication was FDA approved specifically for that. I don't see it very often used for Alzheimer's, but occasionally you might come across it. Both of these newer antipsychotics tend to be expensive, and we have less of a track record with them. So what do you need to know about antipsychotics for agitation and sundowning? The main thing to know is that most of them, I think the effect often is that they work by sedating the person somewhat. They calm agitation or aggression through those sedating effects. They do tend to work relatively quickly. If you take them orally within, 1 to 2 hours, you are going to be seeing an effect. So sometimes they're prescribed ongoing and sometimes they're prescribed as needed for agitation. Now, there are some people with dementia who are actually truly having paranoia or delusions or hallucinations for whom these can reduce that. I have found it's pretty rare for the psychosis symptoms to entirely go away with medication. But what's more common is that they're used for people who are like getting very agitated and upset and restless. And so they do take the edge off of that, but to a certain extent, it's a chemical restraint. And the downside of antipsychotics is that they have many known risks and side effects. So first of all, they affect people's balance. There's increased fall risk for sure. They also tend to slow people cognitively. And I have personally worked with families where when we sort of brought down the antipsychotic, the person really perked up and was able to be more present with their family in a way that family appreciated. However, when they're more alert and aware, you also might see more agitation. So depending on what's going on. And then really importantly, this has been studied quite a lot, and there's definitely an increased risk of stroke or death when older adults are taking these antipsychotics. It's estimated at 1 to 4% per year. So it's not a huge amount, but it's definitely there, and it's something to keep in mind. Many of them also, when used regularly, end up causing side effects that actually can look like Parkinson's. They can make the older person stiff or have a tremor. The name for this is often extrapyramidal side effects. And that's especially true in people who have Lewy body dementia. Many antipsychotics block the effect of dopamine. And people who are having Lewy body dementia, which is related to Parkinson's disease, tend to be very sensitive to medications that reduce dopamine. For this reason, often if we're going to use an antipsychotic, we use quetiapine, Seroquel, because that's the one that's least likely to provoke that kind of dopamine-blocking side effect, but it still can cause it. So the bottom line on antipsychotics for agitation, they do act quickly, but they are, in my opinion, mostly acting as a chemical restraint. The vast majority of them are not FDA-approved to treat agitation or sundowning in Alzheimer's or other dementias. They do increase the risk of fall, stroke, and death. They can also cause tremor and other side effects, and generally they're going to dampen the person down. So they should be used as a last resort. If the person's agitation or aggression is posing a risk of harm or significantly impairing care, then yes, we need to consider these medications as, one of the tools that we're going to use to stabilize the situation. And again, agitation and aggression is often an unmet need or a frustration or a misperception. And so the more we can try to address that in a sort of person-centered way, the more likely it is that we can either avoid medication or use it to the minimum. And that's really worth considering. So if we're going to use it, using the smallest doses needed tends to reduce the risks and side effects. Okay, let me now talk about benzodiazepines for agitation. So benzodiazepines are sedative tranquilizers that relax people fairly quickly. They were initially developed to treat conditions such as anxiety, panic attacks, insomnia, or to create a little additional sedation. And they are really easy for people to like. People tend to like the relaxed feeling that they get from benzodiazepines. So they easily become habit forming. And it's also very easy to develop a sort of physical tolerance and even dependence on it. So that if you're used to taking it and you don't take it, you actually feel kind of like anxious or amped up or have trouble sleeping. You have almost certainly heard of some of these medications, commonly used benzos, as we call them for short. Include alprazolam, a brand name Xanax, prescribed typically in younger people for panic attacks. Temazepam, brand name Restoril. This is a little bit longer acting and historically has been prescribed to help people with insomnia. Lorazepam, brand name Ativan, can be used for sleep or for anxiety. Clonazepam, brand name Clonopin. This is a quite long-acting benzodiazepine that is usually prescribed for chronic anxiety. And then diazepam, brand name Valium, quite long-acting, used to be prescribed a fair bit for anxiety, less commonly prescribed now, I think, than it was a couple decades ago. So benzos act similarly to alcohol in the brain and generally cause relaxation or sedation, but they can actually cause disinhibition. So sometimes, paradoxically, in some older adults, we actually see more agitation because they get disinhibited. So just something that we occasionally see. And benzos, unfortunately, do have many risks for older adults. An important one is that it's really easy to develop a physical and or psychological dependence on it. Actually, when used regularly, people develop a physical dependence for sure, and often they become somewhat psychologically dependent on it as well. They are also associated with an increased risk of falls, with increased confusion, and possibly with acceleration of cognitive decline. There are some long-term studies that suggest that, although that's not definitive. Another thing that I keep in mind as a geriatrician is that I have found that it is often quite difficult for somebody who has gotten used to being on benzodiazepines. It's often quite difficult to taper them off of it. And that's because if you take somebody who's otherwise cognitively normal, and you taper them off their benzodiazepines, they are going to have to go through this period of adjustment in the body where initially they experience, you know, basically a little bit of withdrawal, which is going to feel like a little bit of increased anxiety, difficulty sleeping, you know, activation. Now, somebody who's cognitively normal kind of knows what's going on, has, you know, hopefully decided that they want to do this. But somebody who has Alzheimer's or another form of dementia may not understand why this is happening to them and just may end up getting like quite agitated and difficult as they feel that experience those withdrawal symptoms. It's very important to never stop benzodiazepines cold turkey, by the way. You can provoke life-threatening withdrawal. So if we're trying to get somebody off of them, we want to do like a slow taper. And that can be quite challenging for people. And of course, the less cognitive abilities and reserves people have, the harder it is for them to tolerate it and for it to be tolerable for people around them. So this is why, you know, ideally people don't get on this late in life, but sometimes we have somebody who's been on it for a long time. And so even though it has some downsides, we might end up keeping them on it because it's just too challenging to try to get them off. So the bottom line on benzodiazepines for agitation, they do act quickly and help people feel more relaxed, although some people will be disinhibited. And in the short term, people are going to be less steady and less cognitively clear. Also in the long term, that's going to be affecting balance and probably slowing cognition as well. They are very habit forming when used regularly, and then it can be hard to get people off of them. So it's reasonable to consider them for occasional use to get through a particular stressful moment, you know, maybe a move or a procedure, but it's not a great idea to turn to them. You want to be careful before using them regularly to manage sundowning or difficult behaviors. So if we have somebody who does need something ongoing to kind of take the edge off or settle them down or sedate them even a little bit. In geriatrics, we often would actually use antipsychotics rather than benzodiazepines. I mean, antipsychotics, as I explained, have all their risks and issues as well, but at least they're less habit-forming. And so we would generally turn towards that. So those are two commonly used types of medication. Let me now talk about a few other types of medication to know about. So next is antidepressants for agitation. So specifically, selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors, SSRIs, were developed for depression, but they were also known to be effective treatments for anxiety. And they have been studied specifically for agitation in people with Alzheimer's and dementia, and some studies have shown that there is like a small effect. So commonly used SSRIs in older adults includes citalopram. That was the one that was used in one of the big studies for agitation in Alzheimer's. Escitalopram, which is kind of like the more active form of citalopram, and sertraline. The brand names for those three are Celexa, Lexapro, and Zoloft, respectively. Now, another SSRI that you may have heard of is paroxetine, brand name Paxil. That one is actually anticholinergic. It interferes with acetylcholine, an important neurotransmitter in the brain. So we don't like to use that one in older adults, especially if they have any kind of issue with their memory or thinking or a diagnosis of Alzheimer's or dementia or even mild cognitive impairments. And then there are some other SSRIs as well, such as fluoxetine, brand name Prozac. We use that one less in geriatrics because it tends to interact with more medications than citalopram, escitalopram, and sertraline. So those are some medications, antidepressants, that are sometimes used to see if they can result in less agitation or sundowning in people with Alzheimer's. And then there are some other antidepressants that are also sometimes used, such as mirtazapine, brand name Remeron, and trazodone, which is used at bedtime sometimes to help with sleep. So what do you need to know about antidepressants for agitation and sundowning? The main thing to know is that this is not a quick fix. SSRIs take weeks to reach full effect. And also the effect on agitation seems to be variable, with some people seeming better and others not. If you do try one of the sedating antidepressants like mirtazapine or trazodone, that effect usually happens like fairly quickly, within a day or two. It can help with sleep, some of them, and that can reduce daytime irritability. So especially if sleep has been an issue, that is something to consider. Overall, there are risks for SSRIs. There is an increased fall risk with them, but the risks overall are considered to be much less than the risks of antipsychotics or benzodiazepines. So the bottom line for me is that this is an option that is worth trying. You should just realize that it's not a quick fix. It's not something that, certainly for sundowning or agitation, that you can give kind of like as needed in the moment if somebody is really amped up. And then there are dementia drugs for agitation. So specifically cholinesterase inhibitors. These are drugs that are designed to increase the levels of the neurotransmitter acetylcholine in the brain. Because we know that in Alzheimer's and in many other forms of dementia, people seem to have lower levels of acetylcholine. So these drugs boost levels there. They are FDA approved for the cognitive treatment of Alzheimer's. So not for agitation or the difficult behaviors, but for the cognitive treatment. And the ones that are FDA approved are donepezil, brand name Aricept, rivastigmine, brand name Exelon, and galantamine, brand name Razadine. So they have actually been studied specifically for agitation. And what's been noted is that there seems to be a small but statistically significant effect. It's of unclear clinical significance. And to be honest, this is also the effect on cognition, you know, is small, unclear clinical significance. It seems that at least when it comes to cognition, and this is probably also true for agitation, is that it has like a fair bit of effect on some people and no effect on many people. And that's probably why it's averaging out to a small effect. There is also evidence suggesting that it might work a little better in terms of reducing agitation and difficult behaviors in people who have Lewy body dementia. Now, there's another commonly used dementia drug, which is called memantine, brand name Namenda. This has a totally different mechanism of action. Is actually FDA approved for treatment of moderate to severe Alzheimer's, whereas the others, the cholinesterase inhibitors, are approved for mild to moderate Alzheimer's. So You may be wondering, well, does this one help for agitation? This has been studied, and it's actually it's been a little unclear. And some experts believe in reviewing the studies and the evidence is that people who are memantine seem less likely to develop agitation, but if they're already having agitation, the memantine doesn't seem to help that much. So I don't know that I would turn to that one if you've been dealing with sundowning and you're trying to think what do we add or do next? But overall, in terms of dementia drugs, these are drugs that are considered overall fairly well tolerated for people who have Alzheimer's and dementia. And I think it's reasonable to give it a try, especially when it comes to the cholinesterase inhibitors, if you're dealing with agitation or sundowning, especially if the person has Lewy body dementia. So give it a try. See how it goes for a few months. If the person seems exactly the same, then maybe this isn't doing much and you could taper them off of it. But if they seem better, you could continue it. And again, the effect of memantine on agitation seems to be a little bit more mixed. If you want to try that medication just for the cognitive potential small, cognitive benefits or because it's otherwise been recommended, fine. But I wouldn't have high hopes for it, adding it on to somebody who's already been experiencing a lot of agitation or sundowning. Let me now talk about two types of medication that are occasionally used. So one type, again, is mood stabilizers for agitation. So it used to be very common, actually, for people with dementia to be prescribed this, and now it's become less common. These are basically medications that were originally developed for seizures. They are also sometimes used for people who are bipolar or have mania. They basically reduce the excitability of brain cells and other neurons. So the one that used to be used a fair bit was valproic acid, brand name Depakote, was sometimes used to reduce agitation or aggression in Alzheimer's and dementia. It was available in short and long-acting formulations, but it required periodic monitoring of blood levels and had all these side effects, including confusion, dizziness, unsteady gait, gastrointestinal symptoms. And it was studied in randomized trials, and a well-done review of these concluded that it really doesn't seem to be all that effective, and it has a lot of side effects. Now, I still have met some doctors who specialize in difficult dementia behaviors or geriatric psychiatrists who think this can really do the trick with some people. I don't know. So if you've tried everything else and you're really at your wit's end, you and your providers might decide to give this a try, but I think it's, a bit fallen out of favor these days is the impression that I've gotten. And then another medication that is occasionally used is a combination of dextromethorphan and quinidine. This was actually FDA approved several years ago for treatment of something called pseudobulbar affect, which is when people kind of cry or laugh at inappropriate times. And that's a neurological condition that is associated sometimes with certain forms of dementia and with other kind of neurodegenerative diseases. And once it was FDA approved for pseudobulbar affect, health services researchers noticed that the number of prescriptions went up quite a lot, and it was being prescribed to people who had Alzheimer's and dementia. It's really unclear how much it helps with agitation for most people with Alzheimer's and dementia. The mechanism of action is unclear. It's expensive. So it is something that sometimes when lots of things have been tried, I think certain providers are still giving it a try, or you may have heard of someone, but not something that's super commonly used right now. So given that, what are the key points that I hope you'll take away? Basically, antidepressants and dementia drugs are safer, but they don't work quickly. Antipsychotics do work quickly, and if you give people a high enough dose, you will kind of reduce aggression and agitation, but that is essentially because it's a form of chemical restraint that is working by really dampening down the person, and that does come with significant risks and side effects, short-term risk of falls, for sure, and also that increased risk of stroke and death in the coming year as well. So it is sometimes necessary to use these medications. There are some people who are getting so upset that they're really at risk of harming themselves, or they are aggressive and harming the people trying to care for them. And if that's the case, again, we want to start by, can we use our best de-escalation skills, bring in soothing energy, redirect the person? because some people are quite good at doing that, actually, and manage to soothe a lot of people, so medication isn't necessary. And sometimes those people aren't available, or just some people with Alzheimer's or dementia are really, really challenging. And so it is sometimes necessary to use medication, even ongoing. And we just want to do so mindfully and make sure we've explored all the other alternatives before we do that, and ideally combine it with a person-centered approach, and we want to use the lowest doses possible. As for benzodiazepines, they work quickly, but they're habit-forming, so we don't recommend them for ongoing or frequent use for agitation related to dementia or Alzheimer's. And so again, before trying medications, make sure there's no illness or delirium, and remember to try the non-drug approaches, including modifying how caregivers are interacting with the person, modifying or regularizing routines and activities, finding ways to address the unmet need or cause of irritability, including checking for pain, discomfort, constipation, and also doing some problem solving around certain triggers or misperceptions. Because what we want to do is try to reduce what brings on the agitation, which is generally going to be triggers, decreased physical or psychic reserve, you know, or again, unmet needs. And we also want to always be thinking, how can we compassionately address and de-escalate the agitated moments? What are we doing to do that? Is there a way that we can resource ourselves or train ourselves so we become better at doing that? Lastly, if you are somebody who is living with or caring for somebody who has Alzheimer's or dementia, and you've been struggling with agitation or sundowning, a couple words, especially for you. I just want to say it is so, so hard to have to deal with this, especially when it's somebody you care about or have, you know, emotional history with. And I know it's very hard because often you're working so hard and you're so tired trying to care for them. But to the extent you can, please try to get some support and assistance. I find that sometimes family members are just slogging it out, trying to figure this out on their own, or just asking the doctor, can I have a medication? But what's really going to help is if you can get some support or assistance for you, if you can find the time and bandwidth to do it. And that is because your older relative is very affected by the energy that you are bringing to the interactions and the skills that you have. So even though I know it's very hard to find time to care for ourselves or get help or support for ourselves, I want to encourage you to consider it if possible, because family caregivers definitely need, first of all, space to vent and get care for their own feelings, right? If you show up and provide a calming presence to somebody with dementia, that is great. And that is also going to be draining you. And you may also be feeling difficult feelings of frustration, grief, exhaustion, burnout. So it's important to find a space where you can talk about how hard this is, because you're probably not going to be doing that with the person with Alzheimer's or dementia. You have to find other places. And that way you can release those feelings and also get care for everything you are going through. It's also good to get some practical coaching on dementia care. You know, once you've had a chance to vent and feel a little bit validated, you might be able to learn some additional techniques or tips that can help you get through the next episode of sundowning or agitation a little bit more smoothly. Practice makes progress. And then another thing is that that also getting care and support from other people can help you think about any boundaries you might need to set so that you can be involved but still take care of yourself. And you might also get help and support exploring some alternatives. Maybe there's another type of caregiving situation or a way to support your older relative's routine that might require a little less from you, or shift things a little bit so that things can be a little bit easier for you, which ultimately is going to be really good for the person that you are caring for. And if you're interested in getting support with any of that, I just want to say that I do offer an online Helping Older Parents membership program, where I have a wonderful geriatric care manager who works with me who does that, or I might have some other options to support you. So I'll post a link where you can learn more about what I'm offering currently for families of people with dementia. And then there are other options as well that you can find online, such as the Alzheimer's Association, Family Caregiver Alliance, other online communities, local groups, or memory cafes. What's just most important is to connect with other people who know what you're going through, and ideally also have some skills and expertise with which to support you. And with that, thank you so much for watching. I hope this has been helpful to help you understand the role of medications in managing sundowning and dementia. Thank you so much for being here and for everything you are doing for your older relative. If you would like to learn more from me or even get my guidance with your caregiving situation, again, take a look at the description for this video. There will be a link to a page where you can learn more. I also hope you'll subscribe to the channel. That's another great way to stay connected. So thank you once again, and I look forward to seeing you all again on a future episode of the Helping Older Parents video podcast.